This episode of Mr. Webb Give Us an A is sponsored by Dads Across America, watching the History Channel since you were born.
Welcome, everyone. Today our hosts are local historians Haley Phelps and Devin Gallant.
This episode is called A Vote of Confidence, the 15th Amendment Story. Let's get started. The 15th Amendment was ratified in 1869, but it wasn't completely enforced until the Voting Act of 1965 because of the misuse of power by many of the southern states during the 1860s.
Okay, so overall, this amendment made it so that nobody could be denied their right to vote based on race. When it was first created, its main purpose was ensuring the rights of African Americans. This amendment also gave Congress the power to enact national legislature to protect against race-based denials, such as poll taxes and literacy tests, or just like pure intimidation and violence.
So not only did the amendment deny racial-based denials, but it was also very important that it gave Congress the right to enforce the law through state legislation, and it definitely helped to reconstruct America after the Civil War and really enforce black rights. However, this definitely did not occur very quickly.
So the main aspects of this amendment that we found interesting are the historical context, women's involvement, and the importance of the legal aspect today.
So to start off, before the amendment was ratified in 1869, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln in 1865, 5 days after the Civil War had ended, was a very, very important event for American history, but also it really affected this amendment. The replacement for Abraham Lincoln for the President of the United States was a man named Andrew Johnson, who actually suggested that the southern states kind of rewrite their own constitutions and enforce their own rules as they would like. So definitely, this was very important. Andrew Johnson had said this to the South, which they took, and they enforced that, and they wrote some of their own rules, which definitely set the amendment back a lot further than was necessary or reasonable. The South definitely used that as a reason to not follow them. Well, they're like, because they could just say, well, the president told me not to. But also, specifically in Tennessee, they had left the Union during the Civil War, and when they had rejoined at the end, they thought that the amendment wouldn't have to apply to them since they had rejoined the Union, and they weren't originally part of it during the voting and the writing of this amendment. And the racial discrimination that this caused was really important. It definitely was going for longer than it needed to, but since it was in the 1800s, obviously no one was very progressive back then, obviously. So in the South, they actually created these rules called the Black Codes, which definitely helped to use race as reason to not necessarily deny people the right to vote, but it definitely gave them a lot of disadvantages when it came to basically their regular rights, and it gave them a lot of hoops to jump through. And also during the Civil Rights Movement, when the Voting Rights Act and a lot of other important acts for equality, the KKK was going very strong throughout the 1900s, which definitely caused the 15th Amendment to be delayed back even 100 years after it was written.
So the Plessy versus Ferguson case also had an effect on the 15th Amendment. And so this case took place in 1896, And what it basically was that Homer Plessy refused to sit in a car for blacks because he said that his constitutional rights were violated by having to sit in a black car. So basically he said his 13th and 14th amendments were being violated. So the Supreme Court rejected his argument, and they ruled a law that said that implies merely a legal distinction, and that's in quotes, was not unconstitutional. So this started laws such as the Jim Crow laws, and it created separate public facilities for people. These all became very common. Because basically the Supreme Court was legalizing white superiority, and this set back the civil rights movement, and it caused the 15th Amendment to not be enforced because it now became legal for white people to suppress black people, and they felt like they could take away their right to vote and do things to school. The 15th Amendment was still in place, but now it was legal for white people to do things that could stop black
people. So, moving on to the importance of women during this amendment, which, according to the politicians during this time, I guess they weren't, but women were not included in the 15th Amendment. So African-American women could not vote, but neither could any other women. So white women or any other person of color was not allowed to vote. This was very alike to the Declaration of Independence and many other historical documents, which didn't even mention women back then. So the right to vote for women didn't come until the 19th Amendment, after women's suffrage, which definitely caused some differences between the civil rights movement in the 60s and the women's suffrage movement in the 20s. And Haley will talk about that.
So the result of this amendment for women throughout America is basically that it spurred women's suffrage. So although, like Devin said, women did not receive their right to vote until the 19th Amendment, which was basically in the 1920s, it started women asking questions, and questioning their rights. So they were, asking themselves if, race-based denials are legal, shouldn't gender-based denials also be legal? So it didn't start, women's suffrage didn't come for, a little while, but it basically, started them thinking about it, and because they weren't included, Devin said, in most laws and rights. So now moving on to today's importance in court cases. So the 15th Amendment was not fully enforced because the government basically did not want to enforce it. The people at this time strongly believed in white superiority and were basically racist. So for example, in the Giles versus Harris case, the Supreme Court said that it did not have the power to enforce the states to comply with this amendment, although Section 2 of the 15th Amendment clearly states that they do have the power, but the Supreme Court in this time and in this specific case was just choosing not to use this power. But today, our government strongly believes that the 15th Amendment is important, unlike they did back then. And our government values both sections of this amendment. And this means that Congress is enforcing the 15th Amendment and protecting us against race-based denials. So its effect on people. So when the North won the Civil War, this amendment came into place. It made them really happy because it was reflecting their beliefs. However, the amendment did not actually have an effect on people due to the many loopholes that were put in place, the literacy test and things like that. So it didn't specifically directly affect people until the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
So, some important events that kind of help to make this amendment and the situations around the amendment make more sense are the fact that Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, so the new president, Andrew Johnson, was definitely an important, played an important role in this amendment, and in especially the ignorance around the amendment that occurred when he encouraged the South to not enforce the amendments, because you could definitely see that he was not happy with the outcome of the war, or necessarily happy specifically with this amendment. But also, the fact that this amendment was in between the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement was very important because, especially after the Civil War, tensions were still high in America. The South was still unhappy, and the North was slightly more happy, but they were still definitely racially not as progressive as we are today, to say the least. But seeing as this amendment was not enforced for so long, it definitely helped to kind of light the flame of the Civil Rights Movement, and it's just one of the many, many different things that African-American people had to deal with during this time that were unjust and that the government needed to change. But overall, nowadays, it is good that we definitely do follow these amendments, and it's better to see that our country's politics has definitely become less corrupt than it was back then. I mean, for a little while it did, I guess. But thank you so much for listening. This podcast came from the sources of CDF.org, CDN.org, ConstitutionCenter.org, the Library of Congress, History.com, Pennsylvania Law Review, Science and Society, and CRFUSA.org. Thank you to everyone behind the scenes, our assistants, and Haley and I for doing some research, and also to Dads Across America. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.